Most of you already knew that. If I'm speaking, I usually like to give out a handout. I think I mentioned a long time ago why I do that. We had been on vacation one time and stopped at a church. We were actually, I forget where we were going, but we were going through St. Louis. And so it was Sunday night. We'd been to church Sunday morning at our church, and we were going through St. Louis. We stopped and at a church, just randomly picked a Baptist church and stopped. And on a Wednesday night, they gave out a handout. And I have to be honest with you, before that time, I would take handouts, fold them, put them in my Bible. Never look at them. But the message was a really interesting message, and the pastor started the message and was going to finish it another day. So he filled out the front, and that's night service, he filled out that front handout, and then that was the end of the message. So I had it in my Bible, and I had the front filled out. And then about, several weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, I pulled that out of my Bible, and I noticed it, and it bothered me that the back half was not filled out. But it had scripture references, and I thought, well, I can figure this out. And so I sat there, and I finished, and took me about 45 minutes to figure out what he was going to say in all those blanks, and I think I got most of them right. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me. Here I am 3 weeks later, still looking at this man's message, still trying to get something from it. And I thought, I'd like people to think about it. Remember, because if you're like me, sometimes when I hear a message, if you ask me tomorrow, what was the message about, I might go, But if I participate and I write things down, take notes, or like in my case, fill in the handout, it really helps me. So I hope it'll help you. Some of you know a little bit about my story. I was saved when I was 16 years old. Going into my senior year at high school, my birthday's in October, started early. So I was 17 by the time, right after school started. But I was saved kind of late as far as a teenager, so I didn't have the youth department experience that, you know, my kids and my grandkids had. I was a youth pastor for 10 years, but as a teenager, I didn't have that experience. And so only two really giant activities. We had a lot of activities. We did a lot of things. We had a very dynamic youth pastor. I mean, he was loud, proud, and in your face every single day. He was a fireball youth pastor. I used to love to hear him preach. He's a pastor up in New York now today, at Bethpage, New York. And so I remember going to two big activities. Of course, I went to the summer camp once. That's my entire summer camp experience as a teenager. One time, no junior camp, no junior high camp, just 1 year teen camp. And we had, in South Carolina, we had what we called that year a winter retreat. Now, if you know anything about South Carolina, it really wasn't a winter retreat. The only thing missing was the winter. But we had a really good speaker, and that week the speaker spoke from the book of Proverbs. It was 3 days. Every sermon was from the book of Proverbs, and I was a new Christian. You're going to make more copies. I should have known more people would come. But I was a new Christian, and I hadn't read much of the Bible. My youth pastor said, when you start reading the Bible, I want you to start reading the Gospel of John. Anybody else ever been told that if you got saved? Yeah, several people. It's a good book to start. It's a very simple book, and a lot of it's easily understandable to a new Christian. And so I'd done a lot of reading in the Gospels, but I hadn't read the Old Testament at all. In fact, I never even knew there was a book of Proverbs. I always tell this story because it's kind of a silly story. But my first Bible was a New Testament, and it said on the front of the New Testament with Psalms, Proverbs, and Helps. I didn't know what Psalms and Proverbs were, but I knew what Helps were. That's probably a really good book. So I tried to find that book in the Bible, and I couldn't find that. That's a serious thing. I looked for the book of Helps. I thought that's got to be a good book. Really, that could have been the book of Proverbs. Well, anyway, that week at camp, the speaker spoke on all through the book of Proverbs, several different sermons. And when he got through, every night, my friend in high school, Ben Street, and I, we would go back to the dormitory, and we had, you know, a quiet time. And so he said, our pastor said, you could meet with one or two other people, you read some scripture, and pray together. And so that every night, we read from the book of Proverbs, and we would read out loud. And I was amazed at how much of it I understood. But I was also amazed at how much of it put me under conviction. There were a lot of issues in the book of Proverbs that I needed to deal with as a young man. And I still think today, 40-some years later, it's one of the best books for young men to read and study. And so I kind of made it my lifelong goal to continue to study through the book of Proverbs. I think I told you before, when I was assistant pastor of Eagledale Baptist Church, we had a Christian school, and I taught there for 10 or 15 years, and I taught the 9th grade and the 12th grade Bible class, and then I preached in chapel pretty much at least once or twice a month. And 1 month, I guess, I preached from the book of Proverbs. The next, second time I preached that month, I preached from the book of Proverbs. The next month, I preached from the book of Proverbs. And about the third or fourth time I did that, one of the young men in the school met me in the back of the auditorium. He said, "Can't you preach from anything else besides the book of Proverbs?" And I said, "I could preach from the book of Proverbs from now till you graduate." And he said, "I don't think so." So I did. 61 messages. I wrote 61 messages from the book of Proverbs. And, you know, I kind of took it as a challenge from him, but it was a great thing for me. It was a great study for me. What I simply did, and I'm telling you all this because what's going to happen, you don't know what's happening yet. I'm preaching tonight, and then pastor will be back next week, and the next week I'll be gone, and then I'll be preaching Wednesday night. All I'm going to be from, you figured it out by yourself, didn't you? And because I actually looked back at some of my old notes and got reading some of that stuff. It needed to be updated, needed to be fresh, not as far as what the scripture said, but some of the things I said. And so, boy, I really enjoyed it. I was like, boy, this is a great sermon. Now, some of you also know, I'm gonna tell a secret on myself, okay? So just between us, keep it in here, okay? Some of you know I write the devotionals for the church, Practical Christian Living, right? And it's online and that sort of thing. And I get a lot of comments about the one-line things that I write. I like to write one line that summarizes a thought, the whole thought of the devotional. And I get a lot of comments on that. Here's what you don't know. You know where those come from? They come from the mixed up things in my brain, but they all come from pretty much the book of Proverbs. I've taken the book of Proverbs and I've rewritten almost every verse in the book of Proverbs into one line. Like, for instance, Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So in my little book of Proverbs, it says, a good deal is not one that pleases the buyer or the seller. A good deal is one that pleases the Lord. So I take that Proverbs thought and put it in a modern way of saying it. So I just went through the whole thing doing that. If you were here Sunday, you remember Pastor started the reading for Sunday. The Bible reading was Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 12. You remember that? And then normally Stephen does that. I did it Sunday. It was everything I could do Sunday to read those verses without commenting on them. It was extremely difficult. Proverbs 15, 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, right? So I wrote in my little book, a soft answer is often the best way to get through to hard heads. Same idea. So you take that one sentence. It's not that, see, some of you thought I made all this stuff. Boy, that guy's real smart. No, I'm just saying the scripture in a different way. And people are thinking it's great. So that's wonderful. And so that's where that comes from. So what I did in this 61 series, which you're going to hear four of or more, I don't know, you're going to hear some of these sermons. I picked one word as I'm reading through the book of Proverbs. I remember finding out as a young man, I remember my youth pastor saying this one day, you know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and you could read a chapter a day because there's 31 days in most months. And I went, wow! I thought that was unbelievable that he pointed that out. I thought nobody in the world has even ever noticed that. Probably in our youth department, the only people who know how to do that is our teenagers. And so I started doing that. Well, what happens as I read through the book of Proverbs, and I'm not sure how the Holy Spirit does this, and he does it in your life too. Sometimes things just stick out. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Shake your head if you know what I'm saying. You've read this chapter or this verse before, but this time, one of those words or one of those phrases almost seems to come off the page and grab you, and you go, oh, I haven't noticed that before. Well, when we were reading this as teenagers, one of the words that I read through and I kind of stuck on, I remember reading it in our youth department. I had to read a verse out loud, and I read the verse out loud, and I read the verse as saying, the way of the man is forward and strange. And my youth pastor looked at me and he said, that's not the word. You didn't read the words right. I looked at it again. I said, Proverbs 21:8, right? And he goes, yeah. I said, the way of a man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. And he goes, you still didn't read it right. The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. I read it right that time. He said, no, you didn't. Anybody know what I've read wrong? Yeah, it's not forward. Is froward. Well, when he said that, I looked at it again. I go, oh, That is right. The R and the O are switched, and it is froward. But that just means forward, right? That's just the, in my mind, that's the old English way of saying forward, right? No, it's a completely different word. And I didn't know that. And so that was the first time in my life I started studying the word. And then I went through the book of Proverbs, and I found out that 25 times this word's mentioned in the Bible, and 17 of those times is in the book of Proverbs. There's 17 verses that contain that word. So then I started studying those words. And that's what I'm going to do in this series. We're going to look at the word froward. We're going to look at the word shame. You don't want to be here for that service. We're going to look at the word heart, and we're going to look at the word scornful or scorn. And those are the four sermons over the next few weeks I'm going to preach are going to be on those subjects. Now, If you have your Bible, go ahead. Let me show you something a little different. You say you're going to preach the whole thing from Proverbs. I'm almost out of time already. That was a long introduction. Some of you looked at the pages and go, he'll never finish. Then fine, I won't. But we're not going to go to Proverbs. I want you to first to go to Deuteronomy. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's see. There we go. Deuteronomy 32. I just want to read you a few verses. Now, this is part of an address that Moses gave to the Israelites. And in this address, let me kind of give you a general idea. In this address, what's happening is Israel had been doing well, and they got to do so well that they no longer felt like they really needed the Lord. Now, I know that's never going to happen to anybody in this room where you get to confidence. And I think sometimes trial, tragedy, suffering, all those things are good for us because they keep us on our knees and keep us closer to the Lord. I really believe that. But sometimes we get satisfied, we get too much, things are going so well, we kind of tend to neglect the Lord. And that's exactly what's happening in this passage. You're in Deuteronomy 32. Just look at verse, let's go to verse 15. It says, but Jeshurun, don't let that throw you, Jeshurun is a poetical name for the nation of Israel. It means my beloved. Okay, so God's beloved, he's saying, but my beloved waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, I could really, let's be honest, I could stop here and preach about America right from that passage, could I not? They waxed fat, they got satisfied, and then they took very light esteem, very light respect for the things of God and for God himself. Now, you know that that's where we are in America already. In fact, that's where we've been for years, and that's continuing to decline. So it would apply to us. It applies directly to Israel, but it would also apply to us. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Again, any self-respecting preacher, the new gods in our world today. Another sermon title right there, is it not? Have you noticed that America has all kinds of new gods? It's craziness. Verse 19, and when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And verse 20, look at this testimony. This is God's testimony looking at Israel in that condition. He said, I will hide my face for them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very, now you see the phrase, they are a very froward generation, children of whom there is no faith. And again, I'm not preaching about America. This is not the subject. I'm going to stay on that word. But that's the first time that word is used in the scripture to describe God's people. They have become a very froward people. Now, let me give you a definition here, okay? If you're writing down notes here, that word froward simply means perverted or twisted or crooked. Probably the best definition is probably the word perverted. They have become a very perverted people. They have taken the truth and they have twisted it to mean something that it does not mean. Again, the applications are there. I don't really have to build an application. I can just say the word and you automatically should be thinking in our society, in our churches today, in the religious element of our country today, is that not what's going on? I believe that, let me say this, I believe that the reason a lot of you are at Faith Baptist Church right now is because you came out of a church that started that. I'm not saying they twisted completely, but they started that twist. They started changing things. They started changing the truth. I know what the Bible says. I know what we used to believe, but here's what we believe now. You need to be careful when you see that happening. So there's a generation. This is A here if you're looking for your blanks. This is your first blanks, right? I haven't skipped anything, right? Okay, good. People get all freaked out when you don't fill in their blanks. It is a generation that is perverse, perverted, and sick-minded. Okay, you got it? That is a when we're talking about a froward generation, that is a generation that is perverse, perverted, and sick-minded. Proverbs 21:8. I read it a while ago. There is the way of man is froward and strange. The word strange there, by the way, actually the Greek the Hebrew definition of that word is guilty. They are perverted and guilty. Well, have I not talked about our country yet? But here's the thing. The passage is not applying to the unsaved portion of the country. Who is it applying to? It's talking to Christians who become perverted and sick-minded and perverse. They've changed the truth. They've perverted God's way. I think the best way to say this in that in this general group, sin to them is no longer sinful. Okay? I hear this a lot. Oh, Brother Morris, you're just too serious. You need to lighten up. It's not that bad. Okay, you're making a big deal out of it. Or, that's old-fashioned. People don't think like that anymore. I mentioned in my Sunday school class, and we joke about it, my son and I joke about it, we've become dinosaurs in our era, you know. We're the people look at us and say, yeah, they're just so old-fashioned. You know, I liked it when we called Faith Baptist Church the home of the old-fashioned religion. You know what? If it was good enough for mom, I'm not going to sing. If it was good enough for mom and dad, and it's good enough for grandma, it's good enough for me. The Bible has not changed. Nothing changed. And so what they've done is it's a generation that is disobeying the Bible. Now, I want you to write this down. You've got two different blanks there. So it's a generation that's perverse, perverted, and sick-minded, and it's a generation that is beginning to disobey the Bible. Now, here's a strange thing about this generation to me. Listen to what I'm about to say. They do not, that level of this generation, and I'm going to go different levels, that level of this generation, they are not saying that this is not God's Word. They are not even saying that it's not necessarily true. They're just saying it's not a big deal. Okay? I mean, I know you grew up that way, and I know, you know, that's the way the pastor before did it, but that doesn't apply anymore. That's where it's, by the way, that is the level that this froward society starts at. And I'm talking about Christians, that where you start. Well, yeah, it's God's Word. I've mentioned, I don't know how many times in counseling where I've had to pick my Bible up and showed somebody a verse, and I've explained to them what the verse says. They've read the verse for themselves. Plain English. You don't have to interpret what it says. Here's what it says. A soft answer turneth away wrath. When your husband yells at you, do you yell back? Yes. You shouldn't yell back. Why not? A soft answer turneth away wrath. And you know what they say? But you don't know my husband. Can I tell you something? I don't need to know your husband. I know the Scripture. And the Scripture says what your response to that harsh answer is a soft answer. That's your response. Grievous words, it goes on to say, stir up anger. So if you come back with a grievous answer, he's just going to get madder, you're going to get madder, and an explosion is going to happen. And I can explain it just as clearly as that, and somebody will look me right in the eye, sitting right across the desk from me, and say, yeah, well, you don't understand. And my response is always this: no, one of us in this room doesn't understand. And it's not me, because I am agreeing with God and you're not. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about that froward? They look at the Bible. Some of your children, some of your grandchildren are looking at the Scripture just like that right now. Yes, I know what the Bible says. And you can ask them, well, do you believe the Bible is God's Word? Well, yeah. Okay. And so do you believe that this is what it said? You know it's God's Word and you believe it's true? Yes. And you believe this is what it says? Yes. So you're going to do that, right? I don't know. See, I didn't grow up in that era. My youth pastor, when I got saved, said, if the Bible says it, you do it. End of story. I'm glad I was trained that way. I went to a Bible college that says, here's what the Bible says. We believe it literally. You should follow through on it. And people expected me to live that way. Amen. Amen. So it is a generation that's perverted, perverse, perverted, and sick-minded. By the way, it's interesting. I could go on and on about this, but I need to move on. Let me move on to B, because there's so many things I want to say. B, it is a generation that is twisted, that has twisted or distorted the truth. Again, the first one just disobey the truth. Now, there's another level. The next level is it's a generation that twists or distorts the truth. Proverbs 17:20 says this: he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. like the devil, what they do is they will acknowledge it's God's word. They will say it's truth. But here's what they say. But that's not what it means. Remember back Genesis chapter 3? What did the devil ask Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? Yea, hath God said, if you want the exact quote. Did God really say that? And if that's what he said, is that what he meant? Is that really what the Bible means? Now, there are some verses you have to look at and you have to determine by the context and by cross-referencing if what it really means. But most of the time, the scriptures that I find people disobeying, whether it's about lying, whether it's about immorality, those scriptures are really clear to me. I don't have any question what they say. And people say, well, I know the Bible says, you know, you shouldn't lie. But see, in this kind of a situation, no, that's situation ethics. That's not biblical living. Right? We don't twist the truth. We don't distort the truth. Paul described that generation like this. Paul said in Romans 1:25, that's a generation that's changed the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the creator. By the way, you know why we twist the truth? So we can do what we want to do. End of story. Don't give me any other, I don't want to hear any other excuses. It's not because you don't believe that that's the truth. It's because you have to change that so you can do what you do and feel good about it. Or at least not feel so bad about it. Yay or no? Yes or no? Okay. All right. So there's a generation that's twisted or distorted the truth. And it's a generation that is twisting the truth of the Bible. And by the way, you'll find that everywhere. One of the things I would have you note, one of the reasons Pastor Monty preaches the way he does, sometimes, you know, he gets very doctrinal. Amen? I mean, when he opened his Bible 2 weeks ago to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Predestination, election, let's get it on, Pastor Monty. You know why he has to preach like that? Because other people have taken those verses and twisted and distorted them and made their own religion and made their own doctrine, not in compliance with the other scriptures, okay? Not even in context of the passage itself, they've twisted and distorted it. That's one of the symbols, that's one of the signs of a froward generation. They're disobeying the truth, they've twisted the truth of the Bible, and then see, everybody got your blanks filled in so far? You good? Okay, then see, a generation whose ways are crooked. Proverbs 2 verse 15 says this, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Their direction has gone away from God, away from the straight paths, gone away from the Bible. They now choose their own way. Proverbs 21 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes. That's a part of that generation. Now, I want you to notice the change here. So they acknowledge the Bible is true at first. It's absolutely God's word, but I'm going to disobey it. The next level is, I'm not really disobeying it because that's not really what it says, right? That's a heightened level of falling away from God. The third level does this. They say, well, I know it's God's word. I know it's true. I know it's God's word. I know it's true, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about it. They just ignore the Bible. It's a generation that just ignores it. And they say, have you heard this yet? I had a young person tell me this not that long ago. Actually, it's been, I guess it was last year, but I said, well, I know you. Everything you're going to tell me is from the Bible. I just don't think that's relevant anymore. Oh, well, if you don't think it's relevant, by the way, if you look on the internet and you go to American Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and it says a certified biblical counselors, and you call one and they use the Bible, don't be surprised. I get that all the time. I had a couple call me just recently, and what kind of counseling do you do? I said, well, I like to specialize in marriage and child rearing counseling, and I do some addiction counseling. And they said, great, we do marriage counseling. The lady said to me, so do you use the Bible? And I said, exclusively. Everything I'm going to tell you is from the Bible. Oh, we're not interested in that. You called a pastor at a church who is a certified biblical counselor, but I can't use the Bible. They said, if you don't use the Bible, we'd come in and see. First of all, you're not paying me. I don't charge. So you don't get to set my rules. You say, well, Brother Morris, didn't you have them come in and didn't you take? I said, no. Well, don't waste my time. She said, did you just say what I thought you said? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, don't come in and don't waste my time. If you're not willing to listen to God, there's no sense you listening to me. Ooh. The conversation ended because there was this weird clicking sound that happened right after that. But that's what they do. They just want to ignore the truth. They're not saying it's not true. They're not saying, but I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about the Bible. I had somebody tell me in a recent argument. Well, everything, you just want to answer everything with the Bible. Well, what else is there, folks? It's your opinion or my opinion. Is that how we're going to go? Well, then don't ask me, because my opinion is going to differ from your opinion if your opinion differs from the Bible. This is the truth. This is where the answers come from. Amen? I hope you're coming to church because you want biblical answers, not just to how you get saved, but how you live as a Christian. You don't want my opinion, do you? Thank you. I was going to say, well, I got a lot of opinions that aren't biblical, but I mean, I try to abandon those as often as I figure out, well, that's against the Bible. I've got to get rid of that one. I know when I first got saved, there were a lot of things that I thought were okay, and I can do that. And my, you know, it'd be like the next week my youth pastor would preach on it, and I go, guess I shouldn't do that. Not because he said it. Why? Because he showed me in the Scripture. This is what the Bible says. I'm like, well, now what am I going to do? I got no choice now, but I have to change. I'll be honest with you, as a teenager, I never once thought, I'll change this. I'll ignore this. I'll twist this. I'll disobey this. I always thought, I'm wrong. I messed up. I'm mistaken. And I know I'm mistaken. And if I don't change it, that's sin. And if I continue in sin, God is not going to allow his child to continue in sin without chastising him. I believe that. You say, you don't believe that. You know why I believe that? Because that's what Hebrews 12 tells me. Right? See, I'm crazy old-fashioned. I'm kind of like Pastor Monty in that area. I don't know. I just believe the book. I don't got anything else. I don't have any slick counseling tricks. I don't have any in-depth psychological training. I can't prescribe for you any drugs. But I can give you some answers from here. Now, I'm not saying you're going to like it, but it's what it is. Because people have given me some answers that I didn't like, but it came down to either it's right or I'm right. And most of the time I've found out over the last 40-some years of being saved, almost 50 years of being saved, guess what? It's not typically it that's wrong. It's me. And that's the way it is. Now, I want you to notice this next level of this generation. It's a generation that has become an abomination to God. Proverbs 3, verse 32, the froward is an abomination to the Lord. By the way, no beating around the bush on that one, is there? Well, I don't know that they're abomination to the Lord. No, yes, you do. Your perverted thinking makes God sick. Is that not what it says? Is that what it says, yes or no? Okay, you just fell into my trap. Thank you very much. But his secret is with the righteous. Proverbs 11, verse 20. They that are froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. They are literally disgusting to God. They are a stench in his nostrils. Now, this level, the next little blank there, this level, this generation is condemning God's word. They're not only saying they're going to disobey it. They're not going to say they're going to ignore it. They're not going to say they're going to change it. They're saying it's wrong. What you read in that Bible, what you preach in that church, it's wrong. By the way, you can go on the internet if you'd like. Go to Facebook. I'm sure you can find enough. Go to whatever. I can't think of the. What's the other things, Pastor Wall? Instagram. There's other things. Yeah, whatever. You can go to any of those places, and if you find it, and you won't have any trouble finding somebody who says what they preach and teach at Faith Baptist Church is wrong. Now, here's my problem with that. What we preach and teach at Faith Baptist Church is the Bible. You're not condemning us. You're condemning God's Word. And that, my friend, is a dangerous place to be. I don't know if you thought about this, but there's this little... Now, if you're paying attention, you've seen the degeneration, right? Now, here's an interesting thought. There should be another little blank there, right? There's a generation, they are a generation like ours. Think about this. Moses said that he lived, we read it while ago in Deuteronomy, Moses said that he lived in a froward generation, right? Jesus said that he lived in a faithless and perverse generation, which means exactly the same thing, right? Paul said and warned that we too would live in a generation of perverse men who speak perverse things, and guess what? We do. Now, here's my problem with it. It's not just a generation around us. Sometimes it's a generation within us. That's when I start having real problems. When Christians start thinking like that. So here's the, let me give you, I got to go fast here. It's going to be a real short prayer time, Pastor Wall. It's going to be okay. The four failures of this forward generation. A, the froward devise and imagine froward things. They think about, not just think about, but they meditate on, they devise, they come up with perverted ideas. Anybody going to argue with me that in American society? Obviously not. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 30. He shutteth, talks about the froward man, he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Let me give you a picture. So it's not just that they believe in perversion. It's not even that they twist the truth. It's now that they're meditating. How much more can we add to the perversion? And then they come up with another perverted idea, and then they bring that to pass. Anybody watch TV lately? Are there not enough shows that tell you what in the world is going on? Wife swapping shows? I mean, you wouldn't even have talked about that when I was young. Now they talk about it. Now they do it. Now they put it on TV. They're bringing evil to pass all the time. And we're just sitting still quietly. Romans chapter 1 warns about that group. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 and 22. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. But listen to this. But they became vain in their imaginations, their way of thinking. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's the problem. They get to the point where they can't even understand the truth when it's plainly presented in front of them because their mind and their heart has been darkened. There's some guys back here from Good News Mission, and some of you know I used to work at Good News Mission. These guys, some friends of mine, and I used to teach a Bible study, and I remember teaching Bible study one time in the, David, you remember the noon Bible study upstairs in the upper room? And I used to teach noon Bible study. And I remember one day I was talking in the noon Bible study, and I don't remember exactly how we got on the subject, but we were talking about husbands and wives and that sort of thing. And I made a statement. I said, I've been married to the same woman. Back then it would have been about 40 years. For about 40 years, and I've never had sex with another woman, just my wife. And you talk about unbelief. They wouldn't believe me. Nobody would believe me. They're like, no, that's not true. A guy actually told me that. He said, well, I don't think that's true. And I said, what? He said, I don't think that's true. I think you're lying. He couldn't even consider the fact that that might be true. It wasn't even in his mind. His wicked imagination had gone so far that he thought that doesn't exist anymore. And I tried my hardest. After the Bible study was over, I got with him. And I said, hey, listen, I wasn't kidding. That's true. My wife is the only woman I've ever known that way. And he said, I still don't believe you. I said, well, you have to believe me. He said, well, that doesn't happen. That's a myth. No man can do that. What? But the Bible says I can, and I did. Right? And the fact is, their mind has so perverted that things like that don't even seem real to them anymore. Oh, that doesn't happen. People don't really live Christian lives. You know, the guy says he's going to pray for it. He doesn't really pray for it. The guy says he reads his Bible every day. He doesn't really read his Bible every day. Nobody does that, right? Nobody does that. They can't even understand it. It's just so foreign to them. I'm 63 years old, and I tell you, I would have never imagined how much the world's changed in the last 60 years. I could have never imagined what's happened. It worries me, and it should worry you, what the future holds. Amen? I got 8 grandchildren. Terrifies me that 7 of them are girls. Whew. Yeah, I know. I raised 1, and that was hard enough. Now, 7 more? Oh, man. I think the Lord just beat me up. And I pray for them all the time. But, you know, sometimes my prayer isn't just for them. Sometimes my prayer is even so, Lord Jesus, come. Because this world is so perverted and so twisted and so crooked anymore, it just amazes me. I need to move on. I've got to get this done. B, the froward rejoice. They not only devise and imagine froward things, but they rejoice to do evil. Proverbs 2, verses 14 and 15. Who rejoice to do evil, and listen to this, and delight in perverseness or frowardness, and in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and froward in their paths. They not only do evil, they enjoy it. Literally, listen to this. They revel in it. They celebrate it, and nowadays they publish it. Right there on the internet for everybody to see. Proud of it, right? You know, in my day, it was a big thing. You know, people would say something like, "Party, we're going to go to a party, you know, a party." Well, now today, that's a whole different concept. What people do today, I'm amazed. And publish it. Romans chapter 1, verse 32, I think, describes them, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do them, but you know what the verse says? They have pleasure in them that do them. They enjoy it. Old Testament says that. New Testament says that. What happens is you get so involved in it, your mind becomes so perverted that you're looking forward to wickedness. Anybody? Let's just have a show of hands. Anybody here ever work with anybody that looked forward to wickedness on the weekend? Pretty much everybody here probably raise your hand. If you've worked with anybody, you hear that. I can't wait to get out and get drunk. I can't wait to get out and go to the bar. I can't wait to go out. I'm not going to give you a list. To them, everything's funny. Everything's a joke. Nothing serious anymore. And by the way, let me just say something. You can get mad. I can be the mean pastor if I want to be. You may walk in and say, "Well, he's rough. He's mean." Okay, fine. Whatever. But let me tell you something. You better take warning. When you think everything's funny and you don't like a serious sermon, you don't like it when somebody says, "Here's what the Bible says." Can I tell you something? I'll tell you the same thing. I'll tell you the same warning that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said this: "Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." You think it's funny now? You think immorality is humorous? You think drunkenness is humorous? You think the vulgarity you see on TV, that's funny? Isn't that funny? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I struggle. Some things are funny to me. And then I realize what I'm laughing at. It's like, "Oh, wait a minute, that's not funny. That's immoral. That's wrong." This generation, if you're not careful, they will start twisting you and you won't even see it coming. Here's C. The forward, not only do that, I'm going to fly through this now, okay? Hang on. The forward speak forward things. Proverbs 2, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Chapter 6, verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Proverbs 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. They speak openly, they speak publicly, they speak freely about wickedness, vulgarity, and even blasphemous things. Many, many years ago, when I was in the restaurant business, I got a job at a Shoney's training center, training managers in Georgia. You know why I quit? I had to quit. In 3 weeks, I had to quit. You know why? Because the vulgar conversation was so bad. I mean, guys coming in saying, "Here's what I did last night," and vivid description. And I had to work in the air. I mean, I had to work. And I went to the upper management, the corporate office, and I said, "Look, your policy says you can't curse, you can't speak vulgar, and this is what's happening." They said, "We'll take care of it." Next week, it got worse because somebody told them that I had done that. And it just kept getting worse. And I went back to the corporate and I said, "Look, you guys don't understand. I mean, I was doing this with their, I had like a Bible. I'm like, here's your manual. Here's what it says. Here are the words. And you're letting this happen, not just in any store, in the training stores where you train managers." And they said, "You're making a big deal out of this." So I said, "You know, I'm not yet making a big deal of it, but I'm about to." "Well, what are you going to do?" I quit. I walked out. My wife had a heart attack. I didn't have another job lined up or anything. And, you know, for some reason, the power company and the people we rented the house from, that wasn't a good enough excuse for them. I gave them biblical reasons why I quit, but they still wanted to get paid. But that's the way it is. Again, you go to Romans chapter 1, you see the same description again. They're full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. You don't think you're living in this generation? You're living in this generation. And indeed, finally, the forward devise mischief continually. Have you ever thought about that? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14. Listen to the words. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Can I tell you something? That is a highly dangerous position for a person or a nation to be in. You say, "How do you know that?" I know that because the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that happened. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And when that happened, when it got to that level, you tell me what happened. Now, here's my fear. our nation is already there. It's already there. And the only thing that's holding back the wrath of God is that we aren't there. I'm not saying we aren't in some of these levels. I guarantee you as Christians, our church and you as an individual have succumbed to some of this perversion. It so much surrounds you, it's so sly, you know, and so sinister. I mean, the devil's had decades, thousands of years to practice his job, right? He's really good at it. But when you do it continually and that's all you can think about, that's the destruction of a nation. And our nation's going to go downhill. It's going to continue to go downhill. And the only thing preserving it is you. We are the salt and we are the light. And if you get perverted with them, it's over. It's over for us. We have a bright and shining light. And I don't mean the new building down the road. It's going to be bright and shiny. It's pretty. But if we start changing what we believe, what we teach, and we start ignoring this, it doesn't matter what kind of building you got or what kind of programs you run. This is the issue. What God says. Last three things and I'm done. I'm just going to say them. By the way, Proverbs 17:20 tells you that the froward are subtly changing your mind. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. It just continues to happen. But here's the three things you need to do. You need to withdraw yourself from them. You need to withdraw yourself from them. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Not just a little way. There's a crowd. Can I tell you something? There's a crowd I don't hang out with. And I'm non-apologetic for that. I will witness to them. I'll invite them to church. I'll bring them to church. I'll go pick them up and bring them to church. But I'm not hanging out with them. I'm not running with that crowd. I don't want to run with that crowd. I don't want to run with that crowd in my house. I don't want to run with that crowd in my neighborhood. I don't want to run with that crowd on my TV or on my computer. Got nothing to do with that crowd. I think that Facebook can be used for a lot of good things. I really believe that. But that's not the general theme of the deal. You run with that crowd, and you're going to get messed up. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get messed up. You go home every night, and all you do is feed on, you know, the current TV craze, whatever. You're going to get messed up. Your thinking's going to get changed. You can say what you want to say. I'm telling you, it's what's going to happen. It's got to be limited, and it's got to be controlled. Amen? Isn't that what you tell your kids and your grandkids? Needs to be limited and be controlled. Well, just because you're an adult doesn't mean you don't need to be limited and controlled either. Not only withdraw yourself from them, but keep yourself from them, far from them. Proverbs 22:5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. I get sick. I used to tell my teenagers this all the time. I get sick and tired of teenagers. I get sick and tired of Christians asking me, is this sin? Is this sin? Is that sin? Oh, so I'm not sinning? And that's where they want to stand. What in the world are you? If you know that sin, why do you want to get right? Why do you want to be right here? Because when you fall here, when you take that wrong step here, you're in. I think Christians ought to have just what he said, far from. Is that sin? Oh, that is. That sin right there? I can still see it. That sin? That should be the Christian attitude, folks. Not how close can I get to it? Is it wrong if I do this? Is it wrong if I? How about if I do that? Is it wrong if I do that? You sound like a silly teenage boy. Is it wrong if I hold her hand? Is it wrong if I put my arm around her shoulder? Is it wrong if I kiss her? Is it wrong if we exchange tongues? Is it wrong if I? And you're like, what are you doing? You know where that leads, right? Oh, don't act like little prudes. You know exactly where that leads. Stop it. You know exactly. But that's how we treat sin. Let's see. I'm not sinning yet, Emma. I'm not sinning yet, Emma. I'm not sinning yet. Oh, I fell. I'm sinning now. Oh, I'll get back. That's how Christians look. Not only withdraw yourself, but keep yourself. And then see, finally, keep them from you. Keep them from you. They're going to try to influence you, right? Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Last question. Look at me. Last question. You better honestly answer this because you're not answering me. Answer this between you and the Holy Spirit. Do you really hate it? Do you really hate the perversion you see in society today? Or do you find some of it entertaining and okay? You see what's happening? Where are you at? You say, well, I may be still on that first level. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're not on that last level. But any level, where you at? Do you really hate it, or do you secretly love it? That's the question. Let me. You say, well, what happens if we? What do we do if we hate it? I'll give you the same suggestion that Peter gave Simon the sorcerer. Acts 8:22, and I'll close with this. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Isn't that a good prayer? Maybe that's what we need to do. I know when I was writing this message, I need to stop. Because the Holy Spirit, I get more convicted in my office than I do any church. I study the passage, and the Holy Spirit says, how about you? And I think we all have some level of that in us, and it's something we need to stop before it goes to the next level. Amen? Dearly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll take these words from your word. Help may they ring true in our heart. Lord, let us not be so deceived and so blinded by the devil and so blinded by the world and so attracted by the flesh that we too become perverted and froward, twisted. It's sad, Lord, to say that there are many churches that's already happened, not just to one or two individuals, but the church. I pray that that'll never be the testimony of Faith Baptist Church. But we'll have godly, pure, prudent people who look at God's words as a truth and the guide for their life and stay therein. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.